ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Please turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 12 as we continue our study through the Word of God. And if you remember from our last study in Revelation chapter 11, it records for us the sounding of the seventh trumpet judgment, or the third woe, and we are not going to see the effects of judgment until we get to chapter 16 through 18. Revelation chapter 15 is kind of a prelude to the bowl judgments, but we don't get to those bowl judgments until chapter 16, and we'll look at that in several weeks here. Remember in Revelation 11:15, and this is from the Amplified Bible, what we're told. The seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were mighty voices in heaven shouting, "The dominion, kingdom, sovereignty, rule of the world has now come into the possession and become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, the Messiah. He shall reign forever and ever for the eternities of the eternities." So this seventh trumpet judgment leads us into the seven bowl judgments and ultimately establishes God's kingdom on this earth. But before we get to the chronological narrative being resumed, we're in this parenthetical section that covers really chapters 12 through 14. And we're going to see in chapters 12 and 13 of Revelation some very interesting characters. We're going to see the woman mentioned, the dragon, the male child, the angel Michael, the offspring of the woman who is persecuted by the beast, the beast out of the sea, or the Antichrist, the beast out of the earth, or the false prophet, and the image of the beast as well. Now, here's the problem that some encounter here. They misinterpret who these people are, and then it becomes very confusing. And many times they try to justify why they believe what they believe, but the Bible doesn't support it. You know, when you let Scripture interpret Scripture, it's not too difficult. Remember, I said that the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. I know it sounds strange, but remember, the book of Revelation is just putting those Old Testament prophecies about the tribulation period and the coming world or godly kingdom where Jesus is going to rule and reign. It's putting them into one book now. And so as we look at the Old Testament, we see this stuff emerging. And I think it's interesting that we have the Holy Trinity. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And remember Satan, Lucifer, he wanted to be like the Most High. He wanted to be like Almighty God. That was his pride that brought him down. So Satan sees himself as God the Father. Then there is the Antichrist who comes on the scene. And we're going to see he has this assassination attempt on his life. He has a pseudo-resurrection from the dead. He's a false Christ. And then there is the false prophet who is the false Holy Spirit, the unholy Trinity. Satan is a master counterfeiter, and he uses deception to confuse people. Now, the time frame here. Revelation chapter 12 kind of takes us back to that midpoint of the seven-year tribulation period. Revelation chapter 13, we're really back at the start of the seven-year tribulation period as the Antichrist and the false prophet come on the scene. And we'll develop that when we get to chapter 13 in a few weeks here. So with that as our introduction, let's begin reading Revelation chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. And let's see what the Lord has for us this evening as we study his word. John wrote this, "Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth." Now, notice how this chapter opens up. A great sign John speaks of, appearing in heaven. And the reference is towards God's plan that's being set in motion for us. And it's illustrated, to begin with this woman clothed with the sun, the moon, and garland of 12 stars on her head. Now, to have a correct understanding of what God's plan is, you have to know who this woman is. And that's where the confusion comes in. And again, Satan loves to confuse people. And again, to understand this, you have to know what the Old Testament speaks of. Because this comes right out of the Old Testament. If the Old Testament tells us who this woman is, why is it so confusing? Because people have their own ideas of what they want to believe. That's the problem. And they ignore what the Scripture has to say. I'm sure many of you are aware of the claims of the Roman Catholic Church that this is the Virgin Mary, known of as the Queen of Heaven. Now, I would encourage you, if you think Mary is the Queen of Heaven, to do a search about the Queen of Heaven in the Scriptures. Again, I'm taking you back to the Bible, not what I have to say. Look at Jeremiah 7:18, Jeremiah 44:17 through 19, and Jeremiah 44 verse 25. It's this Queen of Heaven was a false god to worship. And this Mary that the Roman Catholic Church has made is a false god. This is not the Mary of the Bible, not at all. And you probably have seen statues and pictures of Mary standing upon a crescent moon, and she has 12 stars around her head. You know where they get that from? Right here in Revelation chapter 12. It's a misinterpretation. This is not the Virgin Mary. One writer put it like this. He said, Roman Catholic scholars have concluded that she is Mary, the mother of Jesus. Having understood that the child who will rule the nations with an iron scepter is Jesus, it certainly makes sense that the mother of that child would be Mary. The problem with this theory, however, is that there is no way you can fit Mary into verse 6, where we read that she fled into the desert to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. This never happened to Mary, and it never will. The woman in Revelation 12 does not represent a single individual, but rather a community of people. There's also the idea that from Mary Baker Eddy, who is the founder of Christian Science, which is not Christian and it's not science at all, but they deny the deity of Jesus, so it's not a Christian denomination, not at all. And she felt that she was this woman, the child is the religious system of Christian Science. But that's wrong. Think about it. The child is Christian Science, which Mary Baker Eddy gave birth to? Are you kidding me? Not only that, but the dragon they teach is the mortal mind trying to destroy the sacred writings contained in her book, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. No. Isn't that interesting? Trying to destroy their sacred writings, their writings are not sacred. The Bible is. And even those in the Protestant church who feels that this woman is the church. But again, you have to think this through. If this is the church, and the church is what? The virgin bride of Christ. There's a big problem here. Why? Because she's pregnant. So how could this be the church if the church is pregnant? That would make no sense. In fact, the church didn't bring forth Jesus. Jesus brought forth the church, right? When he died on the cross of Calvary, shedding his blood. In fact, the church didn't start till Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. But it was his death on the cross that gave life to the church. So, again, who is this woman? Well, according to biblical hermeneutics, which is just a big word to speaks of interpreting the Bible, according to the grammatical historical method. When, with the law first mentioned, when something is first mentioned in the Bible, you got to take what that definition is that first time and apply it to everything else. It doesn't change. It's, again, the law of first mentions. It sets the standard of how that word is to be used throughout the scriptures. So to understand who this woman is, guess what? We have to go back to the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis. Remember the story of Jacob and his son Joseph, who had two dreams in Genesis chapter 37. In his first dream, he dreamed that they were binding sheaves in the field, and his sheaf stood tall, and the others bowed before him. And the whole point of the dream was the brothers of Joseph would bow before him. Think about how do you think they felt? They're brothers. They're going to let their youngest brother, they're going to bow to him. Are you kidding me? No way. In fact, Genesis 37:8 tells us, his brother said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. And guess what? Joseph has another dream. And he didn't learn from the first one because he tells his brothers what the second dream is. And in Genesis 37:9, we're told, then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, "Look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bow down to me." Who is he speaking of? Who is Joseph speaking of here? Again, what does it say in Genesis 37 verses 10 and 11? It says, "So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, 'What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you?' And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind." There it is. Scripture interprets scripture. Jacob tells us that the sun and moon represented him and his wife, and the 11 stars represented Joseph's brothers, Joseph being the 12th. So how does this all apply or fit in with what we've read so far in Revelation chapter 11? Think about it. Who came from Jacob and his 12 sons? Remember what Jacob's name was changed to? Israel. There you go. It was the nation of Israel was born. This woman here in Revelation chapter 12 is speaking of the nation of Israel. So in knowing that, we see the fulfilling of the Abrahamic covenant by giving birth to the Messiah. And as you look at the nation of Israel, their history, the persecution that they've endured since their birth, you can understand why this woman is travailing in pain. And this child who is to be born is none other than Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And the time frame of his birth was when Israel was under Roman authority, Roman occupation, Roman oppression. And as you look at Jesus, his genealogy, he was born from Israel, right? Specifically from the tribe of Judah. Hebrews 7:14. "For it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah." Revelation 12:5, we're going to read, "She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God in his throne." The woman is Israel, the child is Jesus. I think that's pretty clear, right? When you look at Scripture and you compare Scripture with Scripture, that just makes sense. Look at verse 3 here in Revelation chapter 12. "And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born." So here we see a second sign spoken of. And this second sign is a great fiery red dragon. And this red dragon is opposing the plan of God. He's in rebellion against God. So who is this fiery red dragon? Well, again, we don't have to guess. We are told in Revelation 12:9. "So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, the devil, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast with him." Again, Scripture is interpreting Scripture for us. The word devil in the Greek, diabolos, means slanderer. Satan, Satanas, means adversary or opponent. His names reflect his character, and his color red represents the results of his actions. It brings about death, destruction. In fact, John 8:44, he was a murderer from the beginning. And not only that, but when he speaks, he spews forth lies which flow naturally from his mouth. We have to be careful. Jesus warned us deception is going to be a big part of the last days. How do we know the truth? Where do we go for the truth? I'll give you a hint. It's not CNN. I'm just giving you a little free advice. Go to the Bible. There's a lot of stuff that's being put forth all over the media, social media, the news, all that stuff, that it's hard to figure out what's right and what's wrong anymore. But I know what God has said in His Word, and I can trust it 100% of the time. And you know what? When I read God's Word, I'm not anxious or fearful or worried or upset or angry. I'm at peace. Jesus said, in this world you'll find tribulation, but in me you'll find peace. So why am I looking to the world to get peace or to get answers from when I just go to God and He gives me what I need? Russell told about this fiery red dragon that on his head were 10 horns, and he had 7 heads and 7 diadems or crowns. The 7 heads with the 7 crowns speak of the 7 world empires that Satan has used to defy God. We've seen 6 of these Gentile world empires so far. There was the Egyptian Empire, the Assyrian Empire, Babylonian, Medo-Persian, Grecian, Roman, and then the last world empire, because Rome was really never defeated, it just rotted from the inside, is a federation of 10 nations out of the old Roman Empire, which I believe encompasses this whole world. And it's represented by the 10 horns here in Revelation chapter 12. And I think we're seeing the formation of this world empire right now. I think it's coming together. In fact, they've already divided the world up, and many of you have heard this before, but they've already divided it up into 10 kingdoms, representing the 10 toes of Daniel chapter 9, that last world kingdom before Jesus Christ, the rock, comes back and smites that image, that multi-metallic image, and crushes it. And He sets up His kingdom. Now, we're going to deal more with this when we get to Revelation chapter 17, this one world government. But let me give you some insight. Some of you have heard this before. Some of you, this is new to you. But way back in 1968, think about that, 1968, the Club of Rome had its beginnings. And there were leaders from 10 different countries gathering together. And they gathered together for solutions to the world's problems. And their claim was that they had the answers for peace and prosperity for the world. On September 17th, 1973, the Club of Rome released this report. It was called Regionalized and Adaptive Model of the Global World System. Isn't that interesting? That was their report. The document divides the world into 10 political economic regions. And you know what they call these regions? Kingdoms. Isn't that interesting? 10 kingdoms. One of the kingdoms, and see if this sounds familiar, is the United States, Canada, and Mexico. Oh, isn't that interesting? See how that plays out? And it follows the free trade agreements that came forth years ago. Way back on July 18th, 1993, Henry Kissinger, he was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, a trilateralist, and he said this in the Los Angeles Times concerning NAFTA. So what Congress will have before it is not a conventional trade agreement, but the architecture of a new international system, a first step toward a new world order. That was in 1993. Guys, we have come leaps and bounds from 1993. What was the big thing that the United Nations and the Pope were talking about when COVID got started and it was out of control? What did they say? We need to form a global government to contain COVID. Now, I don't know about you, but I kind of like to think things through. Is COVID afraid of a global government? No, it's a virus. It doesn't care about anything. It just does what it does. Why the push then for a global government? Because then they control everything. You see, when Hitler was in power, it was limited, right? There were places on the earth you can go to flee Hitler. But what if there is a global government run by the Antichrist? Global government. Where are you going to flee to? Nowhere. You see, they have total control. New world order. It's the 10 toes of Daniel chapter 2. And the Antichrist is going to rule over these 10 kingdoms or empires. Way back on October 24th, 2011, Vatican officials accidentally called for the establishment of a one-world global authority to regulate financial markets and national governments. It wasn't accidental, and they're not making mistakes like that anymore. They're just outright saying it. They don't care because they've come that far. But this is what it said. It says the Vatican called on Monday for the establishment of a global public authority and a central world bank to rule over financial institutions that have become outdated and often ineffective in dealing fairly with crisis. The document from the Vatican's Justice and Peace Department should please the Occupy Wall Street demonstrators and similar movements around the world who have protested against the economic downturn. Wow. Do we really want a global bank to manage our money? I don't think so. But that's what we're moving towards. We're headed towards this global government just like the Bible tells us. Now, I'm not saying we just throw our hands up in the air and just say, you know, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. No, we have to stand up for what we believe in, stand up for the things of God, bring the gospel message to people. But in the long term, this is going to happen whether we want it to or not. And I guess I want it to happen because the Lord's coming back. Now, in Revelation chapter 12, in speaking of the dragon, it says his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. Who are those stars? I believe that the stars spoken of here are angels, fallen angels. Ezekiel chapter 28, we're told that Lucifer was created by God. He was the anointed cherub who was in charge of the heavenly realm. I believe he was the worship leader in heaven. But we're told in Isaiah chapter 14 that pride caused him to fall. And when he rebelled against God, he took with him one third of the angelic host. These fallen angels are the demonic forces we read about in the scriptures. And I mean, how in the world could Lucifer and these angels rebel against God? I mean, think about it. But they have a free will. And that was their choice. Now, again, we need to be wise of his devices, his schemes, not fall prey to them. Remember that Satan has his limitations. He's not God. Satan was created by God. And he can only be in one place at one time. But like any good general, he doesn't have to do everything himself because he has his demonic forces, these fallen angels, to assist him in this rebellion against God. Hebrews 12:22 says there are an innumerable company of angels. I don't know, billions and billions of them? I don't know. But one third of those innumerable number of angels rebelled with Satan. So now you understand all the problems we see out there today. Now again, we are responsible for the things we do, but understand, if you're not following the things of God, you're following Satan. Those are the only two choices you have. And by the time we get to verse 7 here in Revelation 12, there's a war that's going to break out in heaven. How many of you really thought that there's a war in heaven? I mean, think about that one. That is not something that even crosses my mind. But there's a war that breaks out in heaven where Michael and his angels are going to fight against Satan and his demons. And Satan and his demons are going to be cast out of heaven. We get a glimpse of what's going on behind the scene. After the fall of Adam and Eve, God pronounced a judgment upon Satan. We read of that in Genesis 3, verses 14 and 15. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." So way back in the book of Genesis, we see God's plan of redemption through the seed of the woman. And so Satan's line of attack has been laid out. He's going to destroy the woman's seed. It began with Cain's murder of Abel. And thus the seed of the woman was destroyed. At least that's what he thought. But that was, of course, not the case, as Eve had another son, Seth, from which the Messiah was to come.
Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.